brought to you by Penguin.
Shutdown. How COVID shook the world's economy. By Adam Tooze. Read for you by Simon Vance, with an introduction read by the author. Note to listeners. This program includes a downloadable PDF that contains graphs and tables from the book.
Introduction. If one word could sum up the experience of 2020, it would be disbelief. Between Xi Jinping's public acknowledgement of the coronavirus outbreak on January 20, 2020, and Joseph Biden's inauguration as the 46th President of the United States precisely a year later on January 20, 2021, the world was shaken by a disease that in the space of 12 months killed more than 2.2 million people and rendered tens of millions severely ill. As of the end of April 2021, when this book went to press, the global death toll exceeded 3.2 million. The danger it posed disrupted the daily routine of virtually everyone on the planet, stopped much of public life, closed schools, separated families, interrupted travel both within and between countries, and upended the world economy. To contain the fallout, government support for households, businesses and markets took on dimensions not seen outside wartime. It was not just by far the sharpest economic recession experienced since World War II, it was qualitatively unique. Never before had there been a collective decision, however haphazard and uneven, to shut large parts of the world's economy down. It was, as the International Monetary Fund put it, a crisis like no other. The virus was the trigger. But even before we knew what would hit us, there was every reason to think that 2020 might be tumultuous. The conflict between China and the United States was boiling up. A new Cold War was in the air. Global growth had slowed seriously in 2019. The IMF worried about the destabilizing effect that geopolitical tension might have on a world economy piled high with debt. Economists cooked up new statistical indicators to track the uncertainty that was dogging investment. The data strongly suggested that the source of the trouble was in the White House. America's 45th president, Donald Trump, had succeeded in turning himself into an unhealthy global obsession. He was up for re-election in November and seemed bent on discrediting the electoral process, even if it yielded a win. Not for nothing, the slogan of the 2020 edition of the Munich Security Conference, the Davos for national security types, was Westlessness. Apart from the worries about Washington, the clock on the interminable Brexit negotiations was running out. Even more alarming for Europe, as 2020 began, was the prospect of a new refugee crisis. In the background lurked both the threat of a final grisly escalation in Syria's civil war and the chronic problem of underdevelopment. The only way to remedy that was to energise investment and growth in the global south. The flow of capital, however, was both unstable and unequal. At the end of 2019, half the lowest income borrowers in sub-Saharan Africa were already approaching debt distress. And more growth was not a panacea. It brought more environmental pressure. The year 2020 was set to be a decisive one in the politics of climate. The 26th UN Climate Change Conference, also known as COP26, was scheduled to meet in Glasgow in November 2020, only days after the US election. It would mark the fifth anniversary of the Paris Climate Agreement. If Trump was to win, which at the start of the year seemed a distinct possibility, the future of the planet would hang in the balance. The pervasive sense of risk and anxiety that hung around the world economy was a remarkable reversal. Not so long before, the West's apparent triumph in the Cold War, the rise of market finance, the miracles of information technology, and the widening orbit of economic growth, all together appeared to cement the capitalist economy as the all-conquering driver of modern history. In the 1990s, the answer to most political questions had seemed...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?